Forager Health Podcast, clearing the path to true vitality. I invite you to rise with us. Let us sow the seeds of compassion in our relationships, with ourselves, with each other, and with the land. Let us take our creation, our lived experience, beyond where it's been before. Let us ask ourselves what would happen if we were to open our hearts even more. And may we be guided toward our overall highest outcomes by joining together on this day. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Forager Health Podcast. Today I have a really important and likely much needed solo episode for y'all. We are going to be diving into fighting the root of distraction and weaving our way out of places that focus on whatever the nature of adversity or challenge or uncertainty is in your current life. This topic came to me and was brought about by the nature of the season that we currently find ourselves in. So at the time of this airing, we are just over the summer solstice. The rush of spring and early summer has come and gone in the blink of an eye. And if you are a success-oriented individual or a seeker of expansion or devotee to the evolution of your own timeline, as I suspect you might be if you are a consistent listener to the show, then this past season has likely contained a fair deal of effort on your part to expand and evolve the nature of your offerings and services, and take your self-care perhaps to the next level, take your fitness and your health to the next level, take your relating as it pertains to others and to your professional standings to the next level. All of it wants to grow in the season of spring. And if you are like me, you may find year to year that sometimes you can look back at the first half of the year, at this first 6 months that is now coming to a close, and be really proud of what has changed in your life. And other times, it feels like the circumference of your field, if you will, your energy, your capacity to hold a life that lives up to your expectations tends to almost like rebound completely in response to each of your efforts and attempts to be a bigger version of yourself. Sometimes it can feel like a struggle, no matter where we are, how far we have come. And you might even find that sometimes you have a mix of both going on in your life, depending on the nature of your focus or what your measures of personal success are. And either way, I'm sure we've all experienced these moments where we perceive the needle isn't budging despite our best efforts. And nowadays, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about little external stressors of the material world building over time to the point where it draws our focus away from what we want our lives to feel like. And where we are right now, there are a lot more from society, from our communities, from our families, from our friends, even our friends that are on the same level as us. The conversation often nowadays, at least in my life, gets drawn to, oh my gosh, I can't believe that there are, like, there's this divide happening, and there's so many people in my life still that I don't want to completely let go of, that also I have to hold at arm's length because of where their head is at versus where mine is at in the current socio-political and economic climate. And I want to stay in my place of abundance, but, you know, maybe my whole family isn't there. Maybe I have to interact with people at work who aren't all there. Maybe we're just living in a world now where we have to take each other almost like for granted as who we are now more than ever. And that feeling that we can't be as close as we want to everyone in our lives, that I've personally felt my whole life, but it's coming to the surface lately, y'all. Like, it's real. It's very palpable nowadays, maybe because everybody else now feels it too at the level that I have so been at times in my past distraught by in my life, and at other times just very aware of the fact that I want more intimacy in all of my relationships, platonic or otherwise. And everyone else, for the most part, seems to be more complacent and okay with being distant from one another. And so that is the nature of my work, is bringing more awareness to the fact that we should all be closer together. And now we have these hard lines and boundaries of, oh, wait a minute, like, it's even less socially acceptable than ever to be close to someone with different viewpoints and perspectives than you. And everybody has different perspectives than you. You're an individual, and so are they. So it's like, really, the obstacles are more numerous and bigger because relationships are the entirety of life, right? Like, if you have a different relationship to your food than the next person, then you're going to have a harder time getting close to them if they are unwilling to be close to you despite your differences. And so those differences are at a more grand magnitude and in the forefront of people's minds nowadays more than our similarities. And so beyond food, it's politics, it's family values, it's work ethic, it's just morality and ethics in general of how we should be treating one another and how our ruling bodies and governments should be treating us and vice versa. There's judgment flying all over the place. And whether you claim to buy into it in your own life or not, the weight is still there, drawing our focus away. And so that personal needle, that measure of your own success or comfort or state of ease, that needle is harder to move. It's harder to get into flow nowadays. We feel the collective pressure of what's going on in the world, and we feel the pressure, the guilt, the shame, confusion, maybe the desire for something other than what we have or somewhere other than where we stand in our lives more than ever. You know, those feelings are real, and we have made them real by feeling them. And our response is what we're talking about today, and our response is either doubling down and shifting perspective towards the positive of the lessons we can learn through integration of kind of sitting with our stress and deciding that the only way to alleviate that stress is to act in the world as you would if you were the person that you wanted to be, despite the fact that we have more on our shoulders in present day than perhaps ever before in human history. And it's a struggle between that, an internal battle between continuing to act towards your ideal lifestyle, your ideal vision of vitality, or distracting, deflecting, coping with our failures or our perceived shortcomings, or coping with longing for what could have been with all sorts of trauma-dominant programmed habits and behaviors. You know, the ones that feel so sweet in the mind and then leave a sour taste behind in the world. So, how do we choose not to distract? How do we lean into uncertainty when we are already looking back on our 6 months of the part of the year where everything is in bloom, and we're already suffering the weight of stagnation, maybe even failure. Maybe we just don't feel like we're enough, or where we are who we should be in order to be able to deal with everything that's going on right now. You know, maybe our lives are a success, but we're struggling in the face of continued worldly adversity, because now it's not just ours, right? It's not just like nobody has a community right now that's completely whole and well in the modern world, I don't think. We all have members that we care about that are struggling, and it's hard to turn a blind eye to that anymore. And I don't think that it's the time to completely leave everyone behind, despite the great divide that is happening, because they're gonna land on their asses and it's gonna hurt. And people like the people who are stuck right now and who still believe in the propaganda that is surrounding us in every moment of every day, that kind of person might even die off, but they have to be, you know, we have to still live with them for now. And it's probably going to be our entire lifetimes before they are completely landed at rock bottom. And I believe for society to function during this huge transition, this divide that's happening, and this evolution that's happening as old systems are in their death throes and begin to struggle more and more in order to provide basic needs met for humanity, that it's our job as those who can see through it to help them in whatever way we can to land softly on their asses as their perspectives crumble and the smoke screens clear. So, point of that being, we can't just eliminate all of it. You know, we still have to go to the grocery store. We still have to go to family holidays if and when that is appropriate. We still have friends and relatives and coworkers and people within the infrastructure, the middle class that's already suffocating right now. You know, there's like, and that is our lifeblood as well. If you're listening to this and you're part of my crew, my tribe, my family, my community, then we are taxed with helping those of us or those of them, because we're the same, that want to know more about themselves and who are waking up and who are trying, even tippy-toeing, to get to a place of more comfort and ease and satisfaction and vitality in their own lives. There are people within the other half, so to say, that are rooted in the 3D, that are still asleep, that are going to continue to wake up through this entire process. And those are the people that we are here to help. And so we can't completely ignore the adversity of the world and just go off into the woods and start our own communities. It's not going to happen for a really long time where we're self-sufficient and they want nothing to do with us anymore. You know, I believe that's a fantasy in of itself. That's a pipe dream. And so in dealing with this decision of distracting, deflecting, and coping mechanisms versus leaning on in and doubling down, despite the fact that we are already really hard pressed to be centered and grounded and connected to source and in our work and in flow nowadays, we really need to first consider how much of what we are feeling actually is real. So we're reconsidering what we have made real by feeling it. The weight on our shoulders is something that is felt, and if it's felt, then it's real. But we need to ask ourselves to rewrite that script, because if we are feeling it, then we are focusing on it. And personally, I'm going to use myself as an example throughout this narrative, because this work, today's discussion has come out of a need for me personally to reevaluate this time and time again in the first half of this year. And so if this advice helps me, I know that it'll help somebody out there listening to this among you, the audience. Personally, I catch myself really often being held back by thoughts of worldly pressures that others would look at and perhaps even balk at how small they are. And they probably have things weighing them down, the people that think that my shit's small, that are keeping them from freedom and levity that they might desire, that I would look at their shit and consider just as inconsequential as they do mine. So, for example, for me, and we're getting into the minute, the really nitty gritty, I'm trying to drive home that things that are really small can feel really big if they are, if they slip past our safety net, if they kind of creep into our boundaries unknowingly. So and that's more likely to happen nowadays, is my point, is that even the minute really builds up because of how active and energetic dissension and stress at a societal scale is nowadays. So anyway, for me, something like making an extra phone call to a mechanic or texting my landlord about something wrong with the house, or having to reach out for the sixth or seventh time to a future podcast guest who really needs a lot of help in the 3D pegging down a date and time to record. Like, that weighs on me, and those little things can build up until I have a gargantuan list of 3D tasks to do. You know, shoot me an invite for a 3-4 hour introspective romp through the reasons for material reality existing, like why the universe manifested in the first place. And I'm right there soaking up every bit of it and jiving with you. Ask me to go to like a party where I only know half the people there, and I don't really know the vibe, I don't know the nature of the celebration or what it's going to be like. That's the same thing as asking me to go to the post office or making an appointment to get my car fixed. Like, I practically play dead. Like, don't expect to see me at that event at all. And then someone else might have the complete opposite affliction for the same exact reasons, meaning they are as outgoing as all get-go when it comes to 3D tasks and contacts, you know, maintaining a network, connecting with people, and connecting people to one another. While their relationship with self might be a little messy, their home is a mess, their bodies are, I don't want to say in waste, but they're definitely inflamed, they're kind of ignored, they're kind of laid back and laissez-faire about like their exercise and their nutrition and their meditation and their breathwork and their movement and everything and their sunshine. The temple is messy, and their relationship with spirit is casual at best, but their relationship with other people is on point, and they can get along with just about anyone, and they enjoy their conversations with cashiers, and they don't mind making a run to the post office or doing chores. You know, there's people that love that. But then ask them to sit with themselves for even like a few minutes a day, and like they start to they know that they need it, and they know that that stress is weighing on them of not doing it, but they still can't bring themselves to go there. And so they cope by doing more of what they're comfortable with instead of leaning into their personal minute adversity. And these examples might feel or sound silly to you, but they all accumulate to stop us from being able to then go out and do our work that we are comfortable with, that we are passionate about. It's ironic that the things that we are uncomfortable doing then stop us from doing the things that we are most fired up about in the world. And then we have a lot of commonalities that build on those individual circumstances in personal life and in business and professionalism. So I'm sure we can all relate when I bring up the example of like not speaking with family enough, like not communicating enough with your relatives, with your brother, with your sister, with your parents, no matter how different they may be and no matter how rocky the relationship is, even if you end up really being stressed one out of three times or one out of two times you talk to them because of just how ridiculous you perceive their perspectives or like the way they treat you versus the way that you want the relationship to be, not communicating with them enough in the first place is worse than having that extra stress every once in a while. And that, I understand, is a balancing act. Like, that's a big deal. But if you come to them as your greatest self and act differently with a focus on why you're there and not what they are saying or how they are acting, then they'll begin to act differently around you as well. And I've seen that personally in my own life. So then there's also lots of things about where you want to be versus where you are and the uncertainty of the results of your action and just that uncertainty of not knowing, that is extra weight on your shoulders. So I'm setting the stage here a lot in this episode before we get into, okay, I have the weight of the world on my back. How do I alleviate it and focus on what's right in response? I'm getting there. But I really think it's important to diversify the conversation into the biggest and smallest things that could be contributing to that weight of the world. So a bit of my own personal sob story, if I were to write one as an example of just not knowing the things that we can ever know before they happen, like the weight of, okay, I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to act like this and I want to embody these professed values and morals and ethics in my life and I want it to look like that, but you don't know if it's possible before you get there. Like for me, that's not knowing whether or not my efforts to accrue a regular client base for my life coaching business as a Czech practitioner or as a shamanic healing arts practitioner. Like I don't know whether or not that will ever come to be where I'm fully supported financially by a booming life coaching business like so many others have. Like it's possible, but I don't know if I am enough to do it. You know, I don't know if I ever have enough to pay off my student debt and maintain my quality of life once my student loans kick in, which have already been pushed way back by COVID, by the way. Like the government just kind of like canceled accrued interest for like 2.5 years that I've been waiting for this extra monthly expense to begin to rise. And then not knowing if I can be outgoing enough, like the same way that others don't know if they are inwardly investing enough. Like, I don't know if I can be outgoing enough to be successful in getting out of my personal current chapter of life because I want to like stop renting a house and I want to buy my own property and I want to build my own house that's fully biohacked and EMF protected and hardwired and all, you know, all this stuff. Like I want water on my property. I want trees. I want mold-proof housing with no shitty, stupid construction materials, no fiberglass insulation, no drywall. Drywall's the devil. Like no stupid modern roofing. I want a log cabin because they last and they're mold-proof. They're like built out of, like I'm going to pay extra for the red cedar instead of the white pine. It's going to be bomb-proof for a long time, and I'm going to have control over that environment 100%. I want that. I don't want to be renting townhomes anymore, as nice as the ones that we've been in are, like, I guess half and half, because two of them were moldy and they almost killed me. Of course, that never would have happened in the first place. You know, I always got to give the elbow and give the hit to Life University down in Georgia, because if my chiropractic school wasn't moldy and they weren't ignoring it, then those townhomes never would have bothered me in the first place, nor would I have actually ever found myself in them. But then again, that's why we're here. You know, I found my whole spiritual evolution through that process. But when I mention moldy housing, I can't not mention moldy schools, because everyone always needs a reminder that no one's doing anything about it. And there's not even legislation to be held against these private organizations. They are businesses, schools and hospitals for that matter. They're businesses. They're not public entities. And so they need to be held accountable, and they need to be held accountable through legislation, or nothing's ever going to be done about it. So anyway, moving on. Rabbit hole, my bad. Not knowing whether or not I can be outgoing enough in my personal life or professional life to build the energetic capacity and the financial viability to finally have my own place where it's an entire temple of healing and like land that I can nurture and be the steward of. Then not knowing if I'll be healthy enough to be the father I want to be. Like, let's kind of take a couple step backs. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be healthy enough to be the dog owner I want to be by the time I want to get a dog. You know, I want to get out of a rental. I want to have a consistent life coaching client base. I want to have consistent breathwork ceremonies. I want to be a figure that people come to for healing and help, breathwork, bodywork, shamanic counsel, all that jazz. And then that all has to happen before I get my own property, before I get a dog, before I have a child, my first kid, you know, like before I know if I can be the heart-centered community leader and conscious, fully vital, eco-friendly business owner that I want to be. You know, all of that has to happen for me to have my ideal life. And there are millions of these places that we all want to be so badly in our minds that we haven't been before. And the payoff is really long term. And because of that, it takes countless days without payoff, focusing on what we are blessed with here and now, and acting out in the world as the type of person you perceive yourself as in your highest image, to build what you have imagined as possible in the future. To make that possible, we need to focus on how blessed we are and not knowing. Because not knowing is like a lack of. It's a scarcity mindset, right? So I can write all of those things down as an example of not knowing whether or not I have the capacity to do any of those things, to be a dad, to be a successful life coach, to be a successful landowner, to be a successful dog owner, to be a fully healthy, vital human being that is capable of holding and taking care of others in the capacity that I really dream I want to. But if I stay there, see how the little things built on, and then like if the little things and the big things are going on at once, your life can be a nightmare. It can be a total shit show. And I've felt this before. I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with suicidal ideation. You know, I've been near death, either by taking my own life or by my body finally giving out in the worst of my autoimmune and mold shit that was several years ago now. Like, I have literally focused on the wrong thing for 25, 26, 27 years, like 28, 29 years is definitely like probably the rock bottom for me. For almost three decades, I was focused on so much of the wrong thing, or I guess between 11 and 12 years old. And then, so you know what I mean? Like, I was okay as a little kid, but then, as it happens, you know, so for a long time, I was focused on the wrong thing to the point where it almost killed me. The weight of the world almost killed me, because I'm an extra highly sensitive person in the best of ways, but that superpower can be crippling. And if you're listening to this, I imagine you are a highly sensitive, in tune, emotional, and empathic and creative, artistic human as well. And so you probably have points in your own story looking back where, holy shit, my focus almost killed me. and it blindsides you before you have the tools. But I assume that if you're listening to this and you've been a longtime listener to the show, that you have the tools to shift your focus and you know what that means and is. And if you don't, then hello, hire me. I'm doing just that by helping people find the tools in their own lives through my life coaching, through the Czech practitioner paradigm. Like it's all there. It's all attainable for anyone. But even after you come out of your own dark night of the soul, after your own rock bottom, maybe it was Saturn return like it was for me. Maybe it is just a midlife thing where you finally wake up one day, realize that you haven't been cruising. You've been literally sludging through mud for 45 years and you're really, really uncomfortable and you're realizing it for the first time. That's cool too. Maybe you've been through multiple cycles, multiple transitions and ego deaths and soul encounters as I have and begin to over and over again have these realizations and then these periods where even with the tools, even with the awareness, the realization, your focus begins to shift and you realize one day that like, holy shit, I'm going through the motions, but I feel like crap and I feel the weight on my shoulders and I don't feel like flow. I don't feel flow in my life. I don't understand what is going on. Because once again, the payoff takes a long, long time. And so if you are trying to build what's in your imagination, it's easy to then focus on the imagination rather than your current reality. Like that's staying present. You know, all while this is going on, the shadows are nipping at our heels, wanting us to slow down, wanting us to contemplate, wanting us to stop moving altogether. And that leads to disengagement because we are longing for something other than where we are. Instead of celebrating today what our opportunity is to achieve a little bit more, to take our creations beyond where they've been before. That's something that I tell myself all the time. Today, I take my creation beyond where it has been before. But meanwhile, the pressure is always building. Those small pressures lead you to shift your focus away from true north, and then daily life turns into these big existential crisis of cycles where it's like, oh my gosh, I want to be a father. I want to own a log cabin. I want to have my own garden. I want to have a dog. I want to just be able to take, you know, however much time off I need because my time off is my time on. My life is fully integrated, right? Like who I am and what my life is my work. I want to be there. But then right there, we are distracting. We are disengaged. We are making excuses of why we need more time, why we need more rest, why we need more planning, why we need more skills before it's time to be ourselves. And if we're not that person that lives in that log cabin, then we're never going to get it. So when this feeling grows, our own self-expectations are literally what have come to suffocate us as we struggle to maintain composure under our own self-imposed demands. And you can tell that I'm really passionate about talking about this, and I'm passionate writing these cues, these bullet points that I'm going through today. I'm passionate about the subject because it can happen in the blink of an eye, and it can happen often. And long periods of time can go by where either you're in flow making progress and you're excited about every single day, or you struggle for a long period of time and you're focused on the struggle and you're not focused on what you can be doing in order to lean toward flow. So I believe that there are several good questions we can ask ourselves when we find our state of mind leaning toward distraction, like when we feel overwhelmed. And the nature of this question is what's most important. You need to have it come from you. It needs to pierce you at your center. It needs to feel right. So as we get into this, know that you should tailor these inquiries to suit your needs, but it's not the specific question. It's our point of focus being the major problem here, as I've been hinting at. So the more stressors that we have in our lives that draw from our main focus, the more we focus on the stress itself, and we obsess over the obstacle and not the path. And the path is what matters. We're creating the obstacle by feeling the obstacle once again. So in turn, we are kept from focusing on solutions. We're kept from focusing on forward progress, on self-care, on professional development. Even you can be at your computer, like designing your website, or you can be on the phone with a client who you are helping and still focusing on the obstacle in mind, body, and spirit, like energetically, viscerally. You are stressed of the weight of your responsibilities instead of just being excited and grateful to be there in a place of compassion for yourself and for others. So in essence, your intuition has been hijacked and your manifestation has literally been waylaid, and our realities in this circumstance flip upside down. We find ourselves in a bizarro world where everything looks the same from the outside, but inside our physiology has shifted. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Viscerally, we are blocked from flow state. We are not in a place where our feeling matches our actions. So you can be looking like you're taking care of yourself and you feel really way off. I've experienced this even recently in a very, very real way. And I also know that others have as well, because this has come up a lot for me recently in conversation with a lot of my friends and colleagues. Just the, like I said, like I expressed in the beginning of this episode, the collective worldview and energy and happenings right now, this is going to come up more and more often until the waters calm down. And we need to know how to feel like our boundaries are intact and how to focus on the right thing in order to be viable as our best selves moving forward. So once again, essentially when this happens, it's inevitable that we eventually let go of the routines and processes that bring us into flow, that bring us into peace and presence, that bring us towards true self-expression fully. Because when we engage in such activities of self-care and they don't give us the return that we expect, then we begin to let go of them and we sink even further away from a focus that is abundance, that is ability, that is knowing. Ironically, it's within the work and in those supportive self-expressions where we create a feeling of purpose and imbibe our essences, if you will, with the willpower to engage in the truth of our beings. And that's where we find reprieve from the situation. But because we don't feel like they're doing anything, because there's a disintegration that has occurred that we're going to get to in a second, we let go of them first and foremost, right? Like they're the first thing to go. Before you distract, before you cope, before you do anything else, we let go of the things that we need most. And then not only do they feel gray and so we let them go, but then the things that we're passionate about also get lost in grayscale. You know, I've went through waves of that emotion in this production of the podcast, even. Like there are days and weeks that go by where I don't feel like I care about this anymore. Like there really have been in April, May, especially. Like it was hard at times to be like, I don't even want to invite more people on the show because I don't know if I want to keep doing the show. But it wasn't because I'm not passionate about being here with you. It was because everything else didn't feel right either. And my meditations, I was uncomfortable. My breath work was bringing up discomfort. I was literally in a place where I was feeling different than how I was acting. And the more you feed into that different feeling, without creating a path beyond it for yourself, the more that your focus is going to be on the weight of the world and not on who and what you are, which is a freely present, expressive, joyful, loving human being, no matter who you are, that is you at your essence. And you need to come at the work with that feeling in order to feel like the work matters. So when you find yourself being unproductive, here are the questions that you can tailor to your own liking. You need to ask yourself first, in recognition, what have I given up? And then you need to ask, what am I focusing on? What problems am I focusing on? What solutions am I focusing on? Am I focusing on the work? Am I focusing on these a million little extraneous pinpricks of material or social or societal stress? Like, what has my focus then robbed me of if I am focusing on the wrong thing? And if I'm focusing on solutions, then why are the solutions not happening, or why don't they feel right? You know, what feeling am I focusing on? And then what actions am I focusing on? What has my focus robbed me of? And when do I plan to get back to those forgotten ways of being? After getting through that like quagmire of inquiry, we have to go into planning to go into a state where we feel the intent behind our actions is no longer afflicted by what we perceived was stopping us from progressing as ourselves. So if you can't see yourself holistically tackling specific objectives when you wake up tomorrow morning, like you're in too deep, you can't for the life of you be like, these are my major stressors and this is how I'm going to resolve them, then you can organize by the type of work. And my calendar nowadays, paper calendar, very important. Don't do this on Google Calendar or any stupid shit like that. Get a paper calendar for the year. Mine is an Action Day planner. It's a planning book. I have the 8.5 by 11. It's a really, really great resource. It's just a book with a calendar in it. Granted, I have my daily to-do list or like my weekly objectives on my phone also, but on this particularly, I keep the things that are most important to me in the grand scheme. And instead of tasks or obligations, for this specific purpose of helping me stay in flow and do the things that I'm passionate about and alleviate my stress in a balanced way so that I am not focused on the weight of the world, I organize by the type of work. And I know this might be a stark contrast to like the flowy, esoteric nature to the rest of this conversation or the first half of this conversation, but there is a point here, once you ask yourself what the hell is going on that has you feeling so crummy, where your overwhelm has taken the place of your vitality, and you have to begin doing the work. There's going to be places in the rest of this conversation where you are going to feel uncomfortable, because there is a point in this transition where you really just need to get over yourself and do it. And it's okay if you start small, and this is a way to start small and big all at once. So instead of specific tasks in that daily planner that I have four shapes instead that represent different types of work that I'm going to dedicate myself to. This is a type of creators or artist's schedule where you need big blocks of time to get anything done. You're not the type of person that can do this for an hour and this for 30 minutes and this for a half hour and then this for 2 hours and then still feel productive at the end of the day. If I did that, which I struggled with for many years, then the first two things would get done and nothing else would happen for the day. I don't have the energy for it. I don't have A, B, C, D, E. Like, I can't jump from type of task to type of task. My brain doesn't work that way. It's way less efficient than me just focusing for a whole day all at once on one type of thing. And this way, it's also left open to whatever task within that type of thing I feel most passionate about or is in my highest excitement on any given day. So, on my daily planner, in order to find deeper states of flow within my weeks, within my months, I have, and this has really helped me this year, I came up with this maybe in like February or March. This is a relatively new exercise for me, but I'm really, really enjoying it. And it fit perfectly. Like, the point of this episode wasn't to bring this to you guys. It just like came out of my fingers as I was like typing the outline for this as a perfect solution to what we were talking about today. Like, how do I dig myself out of the hole? Well, writing down specific things to do doesn't work because sometimes you might write something down at night or like on a Monday for a Friday, even like, you know, for example, and look at it the next day or at the end of the week and be like, I was excited about that on Monday when I wrote it down, but right now that feels absolutely disgusting. Like, I can't do that. That feels like torture, right? So I put instead a circle or a triangle or a square or a circle with an infinity sign in it. The circle is for flow. It's for creation. It's for art. Like, I will write a blog post. I will write in my journal. I will write a podcast episode. I will create something that is my version of creativity. Like, you know, if you paint, paint. If you do music, do music. If you like movement as self-expression, then move. You know, but circle is creation. Triangle is purpose. So it's creation towards true north. So if I am redesigning my website, which I currently am, or if I'm building a landing page, or if I need to create content for the podcast that isn't this more flowy kind of esoteric side of things, like I'm working on nutrition skills, like teaching people how to cook. I'm working on content for that. I've mentioned that before on the show. This superseded it as something that needed to come through sooner before that. So that episode is currently pushed back because we needed more circly content instead of triangle builds you towards who you are. So it might be creating a new playlist for my breathwork ceremonies. It might be training for my body work, going over my notes, going over my indicators, going over my checkpoints and my correlates of geometry in the human system. Like, it might be investing in my knowledge base in some way or some form. It might be taking a class, like an online workshop or something like that. Like, it's something that brings me closer to my being. It might be reviewing client feedback and designing programming for the people that I'm taking care of. It's something like that. It's a little bit close to creation or flow. Like, you might get in a flow state during triangle, but it's really more oriented towards higher self. And because it has a direction, it's not the same as just full creation, right? But creation's still outgoing. There's a difference between outward flow and inward flow, and that's where the infinity circle comes in. But first, square. The box on my calendar represents 3D tasks. So if that is a square day, or sometimes I'll do half a day if it's close enough. Like, I could do a circle and then a triangle afternoon or vice versa. That's a little bit like easier to digest than putting a triangle and a square together or an infinity circle and a circle together. Like, but for the most part, I keep them just one. And if I achieve that objective of having felt like I fulfilled the triangle mark on my calendar, for example, and it's only like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then like I could go do something else. You know, I've already achieved what I wanted to set out for that day. But then the square is what's draining for me. It's the 3D. It's laundry, it's cleaning, it's errands, it's phone calls, it's following up with people, it's interacting with people that I might not want to interact with or in ways that I don't want to interact with the world, right? So for me, square always needs to be by itself because it's a huge thing. Like, it takes a lot. But the thing that you're most resistant to when you dedicate an entire day to it at the end of that day, it feels so good. It feels amazing to not have that shit on your freaking to-do list anymore. My good. So like, if your thing is Infinity Circle, which is inward flow, it's the underworld, it's the wilderness, it's really going inward and doing deep self-work, shadow work, or getting in touch with nature. You know, this is the guide to the underworld, leading into, leaning into your personal muse. Like, the muse is the person that takes you into the inner self, into the core of your being, and brings you closer to soul. And then the wild sage brings you into the full nature of your being as a human, which is a wild being, a steward of the land that belongs in nature. And so the Infinity Circle can be even going for a walk on the sidewalk. Like, that's okay. You know, you can do, you're outside, you're in the sun. It can be meditating, it can be doing breath work, it could be taking a bubble bath, you know, or it could be a really intense journaling exercise where you try to dissect the nature of your life and how you've come to be here. It can be a mushroom ceremony or breath work, or, you know, maybe you have 14 days of Infinity Circle and you fly down to Peru and do ayahuasca. It's like, whatever. That's some hardcore Infinity Circle tasks right there, but you get what I mean. Like, Infinity Circle is inward, and circle by itself is creation that's meant to be expressed or shared. Infinity Circle is for you. Triangle is being your best self in service of others. Square is dealing with the little bullshit nonsense that has to be done in order to exist in the matrix, in pattern, in the physical world, with taxes and with memberships and with like registrations and groceries and laundry and stuff. Oh my goodness. Moving on. So with these categories, and you can make your own, you know, whatever, this came through me, and allow yours to come through you. The reason why this fits so well, if you're bearing with me here, is because over the next few days, if you are in a place right now where your forward motion has stopped, your progress has stopped, and you don't feel like you are yourself, you feel like you are stuck, direct time over the next few days and weeks towards the type of work that you need most in order to give yourself the energy, the focus, and the feeling, and the type of progress required to tackle your bigger work in your story. So in order to get back to your timeline where the obstacles no longer like affect you on your path, they're transparent, they're invisible, you walk right through them, you don't feel them. And then schedule priority time meaning the spaces in your days and the time in your weeks where you feel most productive. So maybe that's a Saturday morning. Maybe you're an AM person. Maybe you're a night owl where like 10 AM to midnight is like you're on fire. The times you usually do the things you're most passionate about, dedicate that time to the things that are weighing on you that you enjoy doing the least. Once again, for me, it's the square or the box. Then, when both of those are in balance, when you give yourself the time to circle it out, to dive inward, to get outside, to create, and to really get rid of all that stupid little shit that you've been ignoring because you felt overwhelmed, when those are in balance, flow is going to return and those obstacles are going to disappear. And when you can fill the rest of your time with the shit that you were focusing on accidentally, so when you're focusing on it, you're not actually doing it. You're thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Actually make it a priority over everything else. Do it, and then you can restore your focus and fill the rest of your time with the big work, the focus you were drawn away from to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, when we are thinking about it, I promise you, we are not actually engaging in it. When we're worried, when we are stressed, when we're overwhelmed, when we are uncertain, is not when we are acting. So these things have built up. They need organized, they need scheduled, and they need taken care of, and then get back to the nature of the work that is on your path. Now, the elephant in the room. Is starting difficult? Is it hard to do this? Pulling yourself out of a funk is always hard. I don't care if I gave you 17 different shapes as categories, or if I gave you two to make it easier, depending on whether or not you like complexity or simplicity. The right feeling and the right focus is always much quicker to return than we think before we try. And so, once again, there's a certain aspect here where you really, like, I'm telling you to snap the hell out of it, and only you can make that decision. But remember that if you are struggling and feeling resistance hearing these messages today, then you need to also ask yourself, superseding any other question that you've already like written down or thought about from earlier in this recording, how do you actually want to feel? Like, how do you want to feel? Because you don't want to feel the way that I've described that I have felt recently, or that I have felt in the past, and that I'm sure that you felt too if you're listening to this conversation. Like, I imagine that your preferred feeling has absolutely nothing to do with the BS ego reaction you may be having to parts of this episode, in the same way that they crop up and get in your way when you're trying to invest in your work, when you're trying to express your highest self, and when you're trying to invest in your expansion towards professionalism or fatherhood or motherhood or leadership. How you really want to feel is completely disparate from your focus when you are distracted by the weight of uncertainty and the charge of adversity. So, leave your ego triggers of hearing this behind, and leave how you're feeling under the weight behind, and lean into how you want to feel. Plan to feel that way by alleviating yourself of all of the bullshit that's actually really tiny, once again, but it feels big because you've fed the beast, and then execute the plan. Nothing else works. Sitting in contemplation is really best saved for another time. Like, I know, like, infinity circle all the way down, right? But that has to end at some point. This is not a time to go inward. Like, I've literally gotten there by going inward too much and not acting enough. This is a time to express your inner dialogue out in the world in a way of action. It is possible to meditate to the extent where you're frustrated with yourself. I've done it. I've done it like last week. You know, it is possible to really spend way too much time investing in your spiritual life, in your personal life, or your professional life. So people talk about getting caught up in your work all the time, like that's the only affliction that humans have. But we can go too far in any direction. Take your desires beyond your individual actions. If you need to meditate or breathe, fine. Like, if you need to have an hour a day of infinity circle, like I typically still do, then okay. But you know, I'm one of the biggest proponents of that in your lives. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, I probably told you to go meditate more than anybody else that you listen to on podcasts. But don't allow the disconnect between inner practice and outward expression to be given life. Take the stillness you find and fill it with progress. That's what this really needs. Fill the stillness with progress, or the space that you create through stillness with progress, rather. And take the discomfort you find and use it as fuel. For me, it's been uncomfortable a lot lately going inward. Take the details of that discomfort and catalog it. Use it as a resource guide for what you need to address to alleviate yourself from the sources of your material suffering. And then get to work. Like, get up and go do it. Don't let yourself think about it for any length of time. Like, okay, if the next 2 days need to be triangle days, then throw yourself into the triangle, man. Go full steam. But then have your square day. Get that to-do list to shrink, because my goodness, it's not worth pushing it off. Because even if you try to shift your focus without attaining some alleviation of the pressure that you feel when your focus is wrong, it's not going to be as effective as actually taking care of the shit that's bothering you. It won't be. And once you do get through that rocky transition of acting again, because this entire narrative is really bringing to the surface, to the point where you feel it crawling under your skin, that if you are focused on the wrong thing, it means you're not acting enough. Once you act enough, once you get past that first couple of weeks of doing again, no matter how hard it is to get started, you will find your life in motion once again. It's that simple. There is no motivational speech. There is no mindset shift that happens. That's why mindset coaching is total bullshit. You need to do things in order to find results, because it's always been moving. Your life is always in motion. It's just that when you're thinking about everything that needs done, your life is actually flowing without you. If you are focusing on what needs to happen, but you're unsure of what will happen if you finally do the things that hopefully will bring about what happens that you want to happen, or if you're thinking about the adversity of all the things that need done, and you're distracting yourself as well, let me tell you, just the focus on the adversity or uncertainty is a distraction. You are investing in a coping mechanism of worrying, and you're addicted to that feeling of unknowing rather than action. And we need to come out of that, because you are literally creating a cross current in your life. It might feel sometimes like it's flowing along without you, but that's not true. You're the guy in the middle of the stream, gripping that boulder tight, not letting go. And if you first look at the boulder, see what's freaking written on it, recognize that you holding on to that uncertainty and that adversity is a distraction in of itself, and you take care of it, cross it off and out of your life. Because the big uncertainties, the giant adversities, the worldly adversity is always going to be there. The little ones need to go to make room for that while we can still be ourselves. For a moment, focus on the distraction, take care of it, and then you may find that the paddling gets a little easier because you're not anchored anymore. You're allowed to flow with the current of your own life because you are not thinking about everything that needs done. You are doing what you can right now. And that creates room to focus on the path. That's it. Like, there's no secret sauce. You can come up with your whole own system in order to tackle these issues that we all face from time to time, no matter who you are or where you stand. The bottom line is that we need to take care of ourselves, and part of that is boring, monotonous task tackling, checking off the boxes. Other parts of it are going inward, other parts of it are going outward, and other parts of it are helping people. That's as simple as it gets. And the feeling will come back, the color will come back to your life. You will recognize that nothing feels uncertain anymore when you are focused on the fact that you have things that you could be doing here and now that make a difference. And that's kind of all I can say about that. If you are enjoying these solo episodes lately, or if you're enjoying the show in general, I would really appreciate if you gave me some feedback, if you wrote in a review to the show on Apple. You could even shoot us a message on Instagram or ForgerHealth.com. ForgerHealth.com is a mess right now. It's outdated. It's kind of like a crippled website. It doesn't look good. It's not satisfactory to me, but we do have well underway a complete revamping in order to create the quality of image that I would want to see in my own offerings. But the contact page is still there. We're leaving the old website live while we revamp. So there is a place there for you to give feedback and to shoot us a hello. And other than that, you know, leave us a rating on Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed. Share this with a friend that might need to hear it. That's really one of the best ways for you to help us grow the show and express your gratitude, is share it with more people, because we want more people to be exposed to this type of information. Maybe it'd be really cool for you to share it with someone who you feel might not vibe with it and see what they have to say, because those are the people that need it most. Honestly, get them out of their discomfort zone by just shooting them this and seeing how they react, and maybe they'll love it and you just don't even know. You never know until you do. That's what this is all about. And so, yeah, any kind of love that you want to send, I really appreciate it. It helps keep me passionate. It helps keep me going. We have some great content coming up soon, as usual. I hope that you're appreciating an understanding of this every other week format that we're now going into. The bottom line is that this show and the new show that I'm trying to create, we're both underproduced. And this is going to give me a lot more space to be passionate and be present about what we're bringing you here, and to bring my new content and my new offerings into fruition that I'm currently extremely passionate about, and also give me a little more breathing room for my growing coaching practice, which, you know, those are the people that invest in themselves the absolute most, is somebody who signed up for life coaching. It's a full-time job, because life is. So, you know, just less on my shoulders overall going to an every other week format. And I hope that you guys stay consistent with your listenership. It would really mean a lot to me to see those numbers not only remain stable, but rise as we try to continue to improve the nature of our offerings and take our creation beyond where it has been before. So without further ado, I will see you guys in a couple of weeks, and I hope that you know throughout those 14 days that you are loved, that you are never alone, that I am here for you if you need a reminder of that, and that your life and your journey hold infinite value in this world. And I hope you know that if you need a fan, if you need a friend, really, please do reach out. The waters are turbulent nowadays. And so if you need me to lend an ear, if you need any kind of advice, if you need any kind of help in settling your own waters, I'm here for you. And also, don't forget that life can be fun. Even a highly introspective, in tune, and passion-driven life should be fun. It should be light. It should be joyful. You should feel bliss on a daily basis. And if you don't, then follow some of these tasks, get into some of these exercises, and let me know how it goes for you. Because I would love to hear how it turns out if you take any of this advice and incorporate it in your own life. So, yeah, until next episode, Hare Krishna.